sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Privacy.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression. Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Culture.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-host, Helena Seiferling. Our guests this morning are Kay Niedermeyer and Allison Doan. We'll be discussing the upcoming Field to Fork Festival taking place next week here in Regina. Kay, Allison, and Helena have been organizing this event since March, and are excited to see it come to fruition. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you for having
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Jim.
Yay.
So let's start with talking a little bit about this event. So the three of us have been planning it, as you said, since March. And I don't know, does one of you want to tell us a bit more about how the project started and how we kind of got the idea?
Yeah, sure. It began as a volunteer project. We started volunteering at SCIC, which is a funding partner for this event. And we were working with them to plan a food forum that they were hoping to have in Saskatoon. We really enjoyed it, and we thought that this was a great idea, and we really thought that something like that should be happening in Regina, and we wanted it to be happening soon. So part of our class project was to make a proposal for a project like that to be happening in Regina, and we liked it. We got a lot of great feedback from this proposal and decided that this is something that needs to actually happen for real. So since that proposal, we've been continually working with trying to get funders, organizing the events, and getting participation from community members, and it's just kind of continued to flow from there, and now here we are getting just less than a week before the event's going to happen. So,
So the event is starts next Wednesday, the 19th, and it goes until Saturday, which is the 22nd. And there's different events happening each day. Kay, do you want to tell us a little bit more about what those events are?
Yeah, definitely. On Wednesday, we're going to be starting with an introduction to food sovereignty and global food system issues. And so the talk that night is going to be starting at 7 p.m. And Annette Desmurray, who's a professor of international studies at the University of Regina, is going to be introducing and setting the context for the rest of the conversations that we're going to be having for the rest of the weekend. And at 7:30 p.m., we're going to be showing the documentary Fresh, which is an amazing documentary that outlines kind of the problems with the industrial food system, but also celebrates alternatives that have been happening, farmers and different individuals that have been working on trying to create an alternative that is better for our world and better for our community. So that's going to be a great documentary. On Thursday at 6:30 p.m., Andre Magnan, who is another professor from the University of Regina, he teaches sociology, is going to be talking about Saskatchewan and our provincial food system in the global context. So it's called Local Roots and Global Connections.
Yes, I think so.
And yeah, and he's going to be setting kind of our context for how we fit in into that global picture. And then Friday we're going to have Joe Monroe come down from Saskatoon. He works with Heifer International and has been involved with the Muscadet Organic Cooperative and lots of projects with Indigenous food security. So he's going to be talking about the right to land in Canada and Indigenous food security. So we're really excited about all those evening talks. And then the Saturday is going to be totally different. We're going to do hands-on workshops and skills training. So once you know about all the problems and the issues that we're facing, you can come down to the park at 1:30 p.m. And all day we're going to have workshops to kind of tell you or show you how we can make a difference in this system by creating alternatives. So we're going to be looking at the municipal bylaws that affect food in our communities, growing organically, purchasing power, so what fair trade and organic really mean, composting, preserving your harvest, and permaculture. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be kind of the gist of that, and then we're going to have a panel discussion to wrap it all up at 4:30 with a couple of amazing individuals from our community talking about how we go forward and what the alternative future for Saskatchewan food could be.
I'm just curious, what was the genesis of all this? What sort of was the spark to getting this on the rails in March? I know that you ladies have got lots of stuff going on in your lives to do. Why did you decide to do this?
I think that you can fill me in after. I think that I'm assuming for all of us, and at least for myself, food is just one of those things that is both really important and I guess really relevant to everybody, because mm-hmm. obviously everybody eats, and so it's a really, I think, important issue and also a really easy way to start talking about alternative systems that we live in. So I think that's why it's such an attractive field to go to work into, if I can have a bad pun in there. That was, I think, a really good starting point. And then also all of us are studying international development at the University of Regina, and so talking about food and thinking about mm-hmm. how we produce things and how we consume things is kind of always part of that curriculum and kind of in our classes. So I think we all sort of came at it from that angle.
And just to add to that, I think that in our classes we talk about the food system and different kind of systems that exist in our world, but oftentimes we just end up talking about them and sometimes we feel frustrated. So I think for the three of us, this was a really important chance for us to actually do something in our community. And for us, I think that all of us felt like the time was really right to start talking mm-hmm. about these issues in our community mm-hmm. on a bigger level and bring it outside of the university for our community. And as soon as we started approaching people, everyone was like, we've wanted something like this to happen for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think that encouragement kind of meant that a lot of people have been thinking about these issues lately mm-hmm. and talking amongst themselves and with their friends, but we want to kind of bring that out into a public space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think food is something, it's so international, and the food system currently is affecting so many different levels of our lifestyle, not just, I mean, within Saskatchewan, but everywhere. It's something that our current food system is not, it's not healthy for our planet. And I think in the long run, which is probably why we're trying to get children involved in the earlier part of our festival. And the Thursday, Friday, we're having programs with children from elementary schools, and we're really hoping that they will be able to understand at a younger age why this is really important, and in the broader sense that, you know, it's affecting the planet, it's affecting people that we may not know, but working poor labor standards, things like that, is something that we need to be aware of for sure at any age, and continue to hopefully move forward and improve that for many people.
I'm interested in your comments on kids. I'm a grandfather, and I am astonished at how much my grandchildren understand and how they figure out things that they can do at their young age, you know, that help.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is we're also hoping with this knowledge that these kids are getting, they can even be the catalyst for their parents, you know, because their parents obviously have the purchasing power, and they're hoping that maybe they'll go home and be excited about this and get their parents excited, and they'll want to come to the rest of the festival, and those parents will tell other parents, and it'll just create this movement and generate a cycle of growth. And
yeah, so it just seems like the time was right.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
There was,
everyone's ready.
Yeah.
Especially because there hasn't been anything like this in Regina, so
I
think
it's not that I can remember.
Yeah.
Nothing
so
this big.
So it wasn't a tough sell.
No.
Once you started talking about everybody saying,
Yeah, there's been a lot of excitement.
Great.
Well, that's the thing, that I think there's a lot of different groups in and around Regina and in Saskatchewan more broadly that are already working on issues like this, or maybe they're talking about environmental sustainability or healthy food or different sorts of coming at it from different angles. But as far as I remember, there hasn't been kind of everybody coming together for one collective movement, and that's kind of what we're hoping will come out of this, is that for one time, everybody will come together, all the groups that are already doing great work in and around our community will be in one place, and they can start to have conversations with each other, and with the entire community, we can then move forward to actually change the systems.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if any of the traditional food providers in our community are having anything to do with the festival. Were they asked? Would they be interested? you know, I think of places, you know, the Westin. So I'm sure Galen Westin would tell you how much they want food to be local in their stores. You know, they do the superstore and the extra foods and all that stuff, and they want it to be as local as possible. But I wonder how committed they are, and whether it's just window dressing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as far as funding, we... I should mention who our funders are for this event, because it's pretty great. But when we were thinking about where we would approach for funding, we on purpose didn't want any sort of large producers or sort of any corporate sponsorship. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be more of like grassroots movements and more local community organizations that would get involved. So there's no one funding it, but I'm not sure who would attend, or we would hope that people from all different sorts of the system would come and learn at least. And the people that have funded this event, we have the Regina Public Interest Research Group at the U of R, RPRG for short, as well as the University of Regina Students Union. And I think both of those are really important to support, not only that we are all university students, but also that there will be professors speaking at the event, as Kay mentioned, and it can really just tie in the university community with the rest of Regina as well. Mm-hmm. We also have SCIC, as Ali mentioned here, and Heifer International, which is a Canadian organization. They're coming from Saskatoon, as well as the Council of Canadians. And I think that's all. And also REACH, which is Regina Education and Action for Child Hunger, I think is the correct acronym. They are helping with the children's workshops, so they'll be supporting us as well.
Just for those who aren't perhaps familiar with the letters SCIC, what is that?
Saskatchewan Council for International Cooperation. Mm-hmm. They're an organization here in the province that I think they primarily fund other groups and can provide kind of support and funding for projects to do with development. So, yeah. Oh, I wanted to talk a bit more about those children's workshops as well. So yeah, as Ali mentioned, they're in the afternoons, Thursday and Friday, and there will be elementary school classes coming, as well as I think some homeschooling groups, which is exciting. And we will be doing different activities to do with sustainability and healthy food, and even just talking about nature and being outside, because I think kids a lot of the times these days kind of stay inside, maybe on their video games or in the house a bit more than they used to, when, at least when I was young. So we're hoping that we can connect children to nature and connect them to these systems, and get them thinking in this
in this area. And one thing you'd mentioned before, Jim, that I thought about as well with how kids understand so easily. A few months ago, a few of us from Amnesty International were at Grant Road School talking about the Lubicon Cree and treaty rights. And it was amazing to see that the little, like, 4 and 5 year old kids, that we would show them a picture of the area before oil development and afterwards. And they're like, oh, well, it's dead. Like, there's no grass. There's no animals. Oh, that's bad. And they just automatically could see the difference, right? And they could catch on to what was happening. So I think that's what we're hoping for, too, is that the kids will really just connect with it in a really simple and really obvious way, as they tend to do. And it's also very profound at the same time. So, yeah, we're hoping that we can start this connection younger.
So you must have some classroom teachers that are involved with this, getting their kids involved and that sort of thing. How wide is that involvement? Is that pretty much citywide or certain schools? Or?
No, not citywide. I think like Massey School is coming on Thursday, so I guess South End. And then I'm not sure where the rest are all from. Yeah, but probably not all around the city.
The thing is also, though, is that I think that there's a lot of elementary school teachers that would have been interested, but because this is just a festival organized by the three of us, we don't have the capabilities or the capacity to have elementary school students from every school in the city as much as we would like to. So I think that maybe we'll look at that in the future, maybe doing classroom talks or, you know, engaging students in elementary schools throughout the year. But there's also a really great organization called SOEA, which is the
Saskatchewan Outdoor and Environmental Education Association.
Yes, which does stuff like this quite often. And so we've kind of been talking to them about, you know, what kind of materials and resources they have. So there are other organizations having these conversations, not just us, but I think that we, for us, it was really important to include elementary school students in our event as well.
How about high schools?
I don't think there's, no, there's no high schools coming. Maybe we'll do that next year. I don't know. We'll
see.
It's,
I think for us, we were just concerned about how to make it interesting enough for high school kids with our limited child education knowledge. So we decided, you know, stick with the younger because they're a little bit more malleable and possibly able to keep them a little more interested with, like, the basic and just being outside and, you know, really just being excited to be outside. So that's where we're at right now with that. But
and when you look at it, too, younger children like that, they're a little more impressionable, a little easier to reach. And high school students, it might be they're a little preoccupied with other things.
Yeah.
One thing as well, and I think, Allie, you had already mentioned before how, or no, maybe, sorry, I don't remember who talked about it earlier, how as we mentioned this to more and more people, everybody was just like, yes, this is great, like, this is, let's be part of it. And I think that's another exciting thing in terms of if we want to do this next year or, you know, in future years, is that we're already making more connections than we thought we would at the beginning or that we, you know, had envisioned. So, yeah, like in coming years, we can definitely like talk to high school teachers or make the event bigger if we think that we can facilitate that and really try and include more of these connections that we've been making in the planning process. So hopefully we can include more in the future.
Oh, and also I think we forgot to mention on this Saturday, sort of during all the workshops, we're going to have some various organizations there just doing a tabling event. So, you know, you can walk up and talk to them and they'll be giving you some information about what they're doing towards food in the province and things like that. So that'll be really great, and be sure to check that out as well, which is all in Victoria Park. I'm not sure if we mentioned that. And everything is free. So everything is free, so don't worry about that. Like, just come and check everything out. At, just wander. So while you're at the farmer's market, perhaps pop on over or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And that is an important point, is that the farmer's market is also going to be, I think, on the City Square Plaza, right, is where they have it. So if you're already there on Saturday, stick around.
Yeah.
Check out the workshops. Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Let me just back up just a little bit here. I'd just like to know a little bit more about each of you and what you're doing right now and sort of how you came to this place. And we'll start off with Helena.
Okay. Well, I mentioned that all of us are university students, and we're all studying international development. So I'm in my fifth year of studying that, as well as sociology. And I think how I personally came to this is I took a sociology class about rural food systems in Saskatchewan, actually from Andre Magnan, who's one of the speakers next Thursday night at our festival. And something in that class really clicked with me about thinking about how food is produced and where it comes from and how Saskatchewan fits into that. And so that's actually when I switched into international development because of that class. This is an issue that I think is really meaningful to me. And so I like to not only study it in our classes, but also, as Kay mentioned, actually try and change it and try and do something in the community. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here.
You said fifth year, so
yeah.
you did a little shift in your focus, and that's why...
Well, yes. I was only kind of part-time at the beginning, and I was in sociology first, okay. And then I switched. So yeah.
Yeah, my daughter was... she did something similar. She was in primary education, and then she discovered arts and drama education and made the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty well lost her first year.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal.
Something you have to accept. Yeah.
Kate?
Oh, well, I'm an international development student. I don't know what year I'm in. I'm in my last year anyway, so I'm almost done, however many years it took me to get there. For me, I think that I've always kind of been connected to food. I grew up gardening with my grandparents, and my family has a family farm out in past Moose Jaw. So I was always kind of aware of these issues. And then when I was traveling, I was starting to realize how more and more, like, the global food system, how it's just so messed up. Mm-hmm. Just seeing different parts of the world and seeing how some people were producing food but still starving, and all these kinds of different problems that happen in the world. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back and started to take some of these classes at our university about food systems, I realized how political gardening and the things that I was doing for my whole life really were. And so, again, that's why I think that it's so important to connect to kids, because I was eating organic food or local food, not necessarily exclusively, but I was already doing these things because that's what we did in my household, but I didn't realize the political power of those actions. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's what's really important to bring to our community, is that these small things that are actually really accessible to do are really easy. So that's kind of how I got here. But mm-hmm. I do a lot of other things too that don't necessarily involve food.
Mm-hmm. Allison?
Well, as they mentioned, I'm a development studies major. I'm in my, I don't know which year, but again, my last year. It's been a lot of years, but...
We all just like school.
Yeah,
so
that's why, yeah. So, yeah, it's in my last year as well. I think I'd say out of the group, I'm probably the food newbie. I haven't taken a lot of... food classes,
yeah.
And I haven't necessarily, my focus hasn't been towards food as much, and it's something that I think I've been learning from both Kay and Helena about, and through this, the volunteering experience, it's something that's really kind of like shed a light on my experience with food, and I'm learning about how incredibly important it is, and I think it's something that I always sort of knew, but never mm-hmm. really knew the extent or really thought about it as heavily, and how deeply it affects our world system. So I am really enjoying this experience because I am learning a ton. I don't know where it will take me in the future, but yeah, it's been a really great experience learning, and these are a couple smart ladies, so they teach me a lot about it, and yeah, it's been great, and I am hoping to do more in this field for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually reminds me of something as well about the festival. I think that we're trying to really emphasize is that we want to make all the events at our festival really accessible for anybody. So you don't need to be already working in these issues. You don't need to be a farmer or a producer or anything to come to the event or to get something out of it. Specifically with the progression of events, as Kay was mentioning, the first night, the Wednesday night, is an intro. So that's if you don't know anything or you're like, I don't know what the problems are. I don't know if I am into this or not. You can just come and learn for free. And it's really not... I don't know, it's not really difficult, I think, to understand.
No.
Like, once you learn about these things, you kind of see.
Yeah, totally.
So we're trying to make sure that it's not kind of at, like, a high educational level, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make everything really accessible and easy for everybody to get involved in. So I hope that will come across at the events.
Yeah, I think most people, or some people, will say, food, what's the big deal? You know, you mm-hmm. go to the market and you get what you want, pay for it, go home.
Mm-hmm.
to, but it's not that simple.
Well, we're lucky enough to come from a region where we can just do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something, it just seems obvious, but it's something we need to learn more about and realize that not everyone's able to do that, and these are the reasons why. So, right. You know.
Yeah. Actually, there's a really good quote that I like by this farmer, Joel Salatin, who probably a lot of people have heard of in, I think, Virginia in the States. But he has a quote about something like the problem with the food system or something is that people think that food is other people's problem until it reaches their plate, something like that, mm-hmm. which I think is a good point, like that people don't think about where the food comes from or how it's produced now that we just go to the grocery store and buy it.
Get your wallet out and
right? So we're just like, oh, I'll just go pick up, you know, chicken that's already cooked and take it home and whatever, right? So, and but you might not think about where it comes from and how it got there and what went into making that and all of that. So I like that line anyway. So
yeah. Yeah, it certainly makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just about ready to take a break here.
Sounds
so
good.
We'll do that, and I always like to play a little music at the break, and I was rummaging around, and I decided that I'd play some Connie Calder.
Haven't heard
Connie for a while, and she's got a song about Georgian Bay, which I spent a little time on this summer. Kind of a nice natural setting, so we'll hear some Connie Calder when we come back in just a few minutes from now.
Down on a bay, the sun has a way of stealing a piece of your mind. And you end up spending your time on a tan in the shade of a Georgian bay. And you sit and you pity all the folks in the city saying, how can they live that way? What are they rather be living on the shores of the Georgian Bay, where you can throw away time just for the pleasure of wasting it, fry up a fresh caught fish just for the pleasure of tasting it, and you can't complain if it starts to rain, sun shines most of the time. Why wait till you retire? You'll sit by the fire, sipping on a glass of wine. 'Cause you can lie out on the docks, swim around the rocks, let the world slip away. That's the kind of hold that the sunset gold has on you in the Georgian Bay, where you can throw away time just for the pleasure of wasting it, fry up a fresh caught fish just for the pleasure of tasting it. Georgian Bay.
Yes, and I spent some time on Georgian Bay myself this summer, as I was saying, on my brother's boat. Loved it.
Like that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's great. Anyway,
yay.
Back to food.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were not with us earlier on in the show, we are talking about the Field to Fork Festival.
And you're Helena.
And I'm Helena.
Yeah.
And we are joined here by Kay and Allison, who are the three of us are the organizers
I'm
for
Jim.
The event.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I'm Jim.
Oh, yes, yeah. And this is Jim.
Just in case you forgot.
Thanks. So this is an event happening next week here in Regina. It's in Victoria Park from Wednesday the 19th until Saturday the 22nd. And there are different public lectures, workshops with elementary school children, and hands-on workshops and a panel discussion on the Saturday. And everything is free. And so that's what we are talking about, is kind of how this project was started and why we're all involved and why we think it's so important. So maybe let's talk a little bit more about that. We mentioned before the break, we kind of touched on how there's problems in the food system, and so we need events like this to kind of raise awareness and promote action around that. But maybe we can talk a little bit more about what these problems are and why we think that this food system is not sustainable and just.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we'll just do kind of an overlay right now of some of the kind of bigger problems. And for me, one of the things is just our rights around food, the fact that we need food every single day. We eat food in our society at least 3 times a day, if not more. And so it's a super political thing. But some people don't have food. They don't have the nutrients that they need in their daily lives. And so how do we provide food for the world right now? We have a global food system that's telling us that, you know, this is the system, this is the only way we'll be able to produce enough food to feed our planet. But yet, I believe that more than enough food is being produced to feed the planet, and yet, you know, it's just not getting to the places that it needs to get. So we've got industrial food systems around the world that are creating food for the market and not for people to eat. We've got a problem where, you know, we've got an excess of rotting food in our dumpsters in North America because we just can't eat all the food that we have in our marketplaces, and yet there's people starving on the other side of the world. Also, the food that we're producing isn't respectful to the environment in the way that we're producing it. So when we produce industrial food in this really, you know, apparently efficient manner where we're using all these chemicals and really high processes of manufacturing these products, they're not only harmful for our body, but they're harmful for our environment. And so that's kind of why we need to get away from this industrial food system. We need to go back to a food system that is healthy for both our bodies and our communities, as well as our environment that we live in. And I think our communities, as well as the earth that we live on, really need that right now.
I think as well, a lot of people, even just in a personal sense, they're going to be noticing that food in our grocery stores here is more expensive. I think a lot of people are starting to notice that and starting to be like, hey, what's going on? Why? Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of that is definitely based on the fact that in Saskatchewan, we import a lot of food. And of course, everywhere, especially North America, imports a lot. Though we do produce it, we export it, and we are very specific in what we do produce. So we do have to import a lot of food. And the import process is very taxing on the environment. The level of fuel it takes to be importing across the ocean is huge. And so as the prices of oil continue to rise, the prices for our food is going to continue to rise as well. Mm-hmm. So I think even in a personal economic sense, that is something that, you know, people can really relate to, is that our food's going to get really expensive, and it's going to be to the point where lower income people within the cities cannot afford food. So, I mean, that's something that is directly relating to us right now,
and
will continue to happen, especially as oil becomes less and less available, and we may not be able to find a replacement fuel system for a while. So I think local, you don't need to import it. It's much more environmentally sustainable. So that's another aspect of why this needs to be happening.
Mm-hmm. And as this kind of ties on, I guess, to what you're saying, Ali, but everyone knows that there's an obesity problem in North America as well, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of that comes from, if people aren't able to access or pay for healthy food or food that's good for them, then you're going to buy the options that are cheaper, like fast food or ready-made food that's, because it's less expensive in our weird economic system right now, right? So that is also contributing to more of a problem here. And then you, of course, put that beside how people in other places in the world are starving and are undernourished, mm-hmm. and we're overnourished, if that's even a word, and we're, you know...
Well, not even overnourished, I'd say. We have food deserts in our own communities in North America. We have a food desert in downtown Regina right now where there's no place other than the farmer's market that happens a couple times a week. There's no place to buy real groceries. Mm-hmm. There's corner stores where you can buy junk food. And so that's part of the problem with obesity in North America, is that those people don't necessarily have the nutrients they mm-hmm. need. Mm-hmm. They have food filling their stomachs, but it's not necessarily good food for people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so exactly. I think that's something we need to really acknowledge, the fact that there's people starving around the world. There's, I think, 1 billion people starving around the world, but there's also probably about the same amount of people that are overweight around the world. So we're obviously not striking this balance.
I really think, too, don't you think one of the issues is education? They just don't know any better. Mm-hmm. And you see some shopping carts and they've got soft drinks in them, they've got chips in them, and you're just curious, looking. There's no healthy food in that basket. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're bringing home to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It starts at a young age, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's something we don't necessarily have to feel guilty about indulging in every now and then. We don't want to say, like, never eat this way.
Right. Yeah.
But you do have to think about how we have access to certain foods and how we don't, or even fresh food that we can get in the winter in Saskatchewan. When you pick up a container of strawberries in the grocery market in the winter, just think about how that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to feel guilty about that all the time when you do it, but just to be conscious of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or even the producers, or even who's the company that's behind the producer, and where is this being produced mm-hmm. in the world? Who is making it? And, you know, are they being paid fair wages? What are their working standards like? This is something that you can't always find out, but you can try and think about and maybe look into. The information is becoming more and more readily available on these things, but I mean, that's something that's really, with this large mass produced market, things are just, there is fair trade, but it's very limited, and it's not always regulated as we should expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's another issue with that food, of thinking about, you know, where did this come from, who's making it, and, like, how, why, like, mm-hmm. were these people treated respectfully?
I'm mm-hmm. just curious, is there going to be anything there about chocolate?
Well, we're doing a purchasing power workshop. We are not the ones running it,
But we're going to be talking about fair trade in that mm-hmm. workshop, and chocolate has kind of gone hand in hand now with fair trade. When you think about fair trade, that's one of the main.
It's a very
items. Yeah. Chocolate and coffee.
It's very very interesting. Coffee. It's a very interesting and unsettling story about mm-hmm. chocolate. Mm-hmm. You know, especially from Africa, for mm-hmm. example. I think it's Cote d'Ivoire. Where you've got plantation owners that are getting so little money for the chocolate, they really can't afford to pay the people that they have hired to pick it. And these people come over looking for jobs, and they barely get subsistence food. And who's making the money?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of money there.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not the producers, it's not the farmers, it's not the workers, it's the government there, you know. Mm-hmm. And good old Nestle and companies like that.
And I think that's something that you'll find when you look into any product really in depth. If you look into bananas or shrimp or chocolate, coffee, any kind of food item, and you really do some research, mm-hmm. you'll find that that's the case with plantations being run in certain ways
mm-hmm.
and the way that corporations can, you know, manipulate the food market really well these days. And so I think that, yeah, chocolate is a great example of that. But when you look into anything, that'll be the case behind mm-hmm. that item of food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think this is an example as well of something that we want to provide tools for at the festival next week. Because as you mentioned, one of the workshops is about purchasing power, where we'll be talking, I think, more about, because of these problems, what we can do about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, talking about labeling like organic or fair trade or rainforest certified, whatever. There's all these things that we see on all the packages, right? But we might not know what they mean, or if it's actually doing good, or if it's actually better, and what all that means. So, yeah, hopefully this workshop can give people tools for how to better understand these things and how to use their power as a consumer for better, I think. Because, yeah, and Kay, as you mentioned, not to feel guilty about all these things that mm-hmm. we buy every day or that we see in the supermarket. But I think it's true that a lot of the produce and the things that we eat will be imported or will come from somewhere else, and that's kind of the way it is mm-hmm. right now. So because of that, instead of feeling bad about it, we can at least learn about where the things come from and how we can use our dollars really to vote for better things in the supermarket.
This sort of points out the huge advantage to buying locally produced food, because
mm-hmm.
then yeah. you're sure, you know, to a certain extent,
yes.
that people are being properly compensated. You don't have people being paid slave wages or whatever, being basically taken advantage of in order to produce the food that's going to be on your table.
Yeah, well, when you go to the farmer's market, you can ask that farmer how they grew it,
mm-hmm.
what they did, you know, where they grew it, and all those questions that you have, you don't have to do research on the internet or go look at anywhere else. You have the source right there, and mm-hmm. they will be more than welcome to share that information with you.
Yeah, real advantage there. You know,
mm-hmm.
you, know, you yeah, don't sure. you don't have that advantage when you go into the supermarket.
Not at all.
You know, you have no idea. It's, I suppose you can find out, like you say, but it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, because they don't want you to know.
And sometimes the label will just say imported, and it doesn't really say where it's imported from.
Mm-hmm.
Imported
yeah.
to tell you who imported it, but not where it came from in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem with labeling as well, which is, I think an issue we're not really addressing in the festival, but it's still another problem mm-hmm. in the food system, is that now people can say, like, all natural or, like, organic or lower fat or whatever, but it doesn't really tell you what's actually in there. Mm-hmm. Or they make the package green and it looks like a nice friendly little farm or something, and you're like, oh, this is natural, this is healthy,
sure,
this is great,
right.
and you, but, you
but
know, it's hard to tell
not.
For sure.
It's marketing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Are we talking at all about GMO stuff?
Actually...
Well, this is a thing that we wanted to touch on in our festival, mm-hmm. but the speaker that we had asked wasn't available. So what we're going to do is we're going to have another talk later on, maybe in October or November, which will be also branded through the Field to Fork kind of festival series.
Mm.
And so we're going to continue to have talks throughout the year. And so hopefully that will be a conversation that happens in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
great.
You can. That those talks are going to be on our website.
Yes, we have a website. It's www.field2forkfestival.ca. And on that website, we're just hoping to kind of have a space for community. So if there's any food events or anything like that, we're going to put them on a calendar on that website and have a blog with all of these kinds of events that are going on in our community, you know, resources, tools that you can use throughout the year. So if you can come to the festival, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also going to be a resource for our community throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
To
keep
the discussion. Sorry, I was just going to say, obviously, we're not touching on all of the issues that we could talk about at this event, not in 4 days. So, yeah, we're hoping that throughout the rest of the year or through other events that are already happening in the community as well, we can address other issues that won't be discussed here, like GMOs, like that are also really important, really, I guess, critical at this point in time, but they're just not going to be covered.
So basically, it would be fair to say that one of your goals is to pique everybody's curiosity and interest in
yes.
the subject.
Yeah, yeah, I think definitely. So, for sure.
Yeah. Great.
One of the things I was just thinking about when we were talking so much about the international food system and all this global stuff is that I think it's important to remember as well that there's a lot of problems happening within Canada also. And that was especially highlighted back in May, if anyone remembers, when the UN Special Rapporteur on Food came to Canada,
mm-hmm.
On the right to food, sorry.
Right,
and then
yeah.
he had all these criticisms, and the Canadian government was very mean and didn't want him to be criticizing us. And they were kind of saying, we're doing fine, so we don't need you. But he was pointing out a lot of important points, especially to do with Indigenous food security in Canada
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how different, I guess, lower, communities that are farther away from major centers or whatever, we're having
right.
more problem getting food and accessing food and that. So, yeah, there's clearly a lot of inequality to do with food still in our country as well
mm-hmm.
that we need to address.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. And, our government really is... I don't know, they're kind of in a shoot-the-messenger kind of mode, you know, the rapporteur comes in and points out a problem, and their response is, oh, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and because of that, Amnesty International was part of a really long list of organizations and individuals that sent a letter to the Prime Minister after that visit to kind of just be like, well, this is what was happening, and we believe that this is an issue that we should address, like, as a country, right, and as a government and all of that. Yeah, so this is definitely an issue that Amnesty International Canada is concerned about as well, and specifically to do with Indigenous food security, but not only that. So if you do want more info about what Amnesty is doing, there's info on the website as well, talking about their response to that visit from the UN and, yeah, kind of problems that are happening within our own country.
Right. That makes me think of Food Bank. Is Food Bank going to get to have any involvement in your... I guess something we could talk about, but, you know.
Not explicitly. Like, we haven't... Yeah. They're not, like, a partner or a sponsor or anything. But obviously we would love it.
Yes,
and
in terms of availability, you know, of food for people who are having difficulty economically in our city, in our province. And I know they're always having problems keeping the supply up for people that don't have enough money to feed the families.
Well, and that's kind of a larger problem as well, is that it seems, I think, more and more people are using food banks as time goes on, which I think speaks to how food is becoming less affordable and less available for especially lower-income families, even here in Canada. So, yeah. Lots of, I guess, different problems around the world to do with food, but I think the important thing to remember is that they're all connected issues and that we have a lot of power to be able to do something about that, even by learning about it and by making different consumer choices and by asking questions about where your food comes from and these sorts of things that we want people to start thinking about to make some change.
Do you have any kind of numbers? I'm just curious, and whether for our country or globally or whatever, how much food is wasted or rots or, you know, just doesn't come to market because there's transportation's not there or there's no money in it or something like that? I know there's a huge amount of food that just plain goes to waste.
I don't know if any of us have explicit numbers on that, but I think that Carmichael Outreach in Regina has a food recovery program. And so I think that that in itself is indicative of the fact that, you know, there's enough food going to waste that it's worthwhile for an organization to go out and kind of rescue some of it. But then also I think that, you know, I would assume that it's a huge amount of food because we have such expectations of when food is fresh and when it's not fresh anymore. And we're really privileged to have that ability to say that, you know, this is an expired food item when it's not rotten yet. It just isn't as fresh as we would expect it to be, you know?
And I have worked in restaurants for years, and I think that's probably something, especially now for me, it's becoming harder and harder. Just the system is in within that even is broken because so much food goes to waste, and it's just, it's painful to watch. And, you know, I know of, we have some, immigrant people working within the kitchen, and they often are more than happy to take food that, you know, some of us would be like, oh, why are you eating that? But to them, you know, it's perfectly fine. And it is, it's perfectly fine. And it's just that system in itself even is just something that needs to change, the amount of waste. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to see that, and it's so frustrating because it's hard to know in that situation how to fix that.
I know, like, myself as well, I've also been working in restaurants for a while, and whenever people have, like, half their food left, I'm like, oh, I'll package this up for you, and they're like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, oh, I think you might.
Yeah,
like,
you want it.
I always try and push them a little bit to say,
home.
No, yeah, like, if you eat it tomorrow, it's still delicious.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's the same thing. But speaking of restaurants, I wanted to mention that for the Field to Fork Festival next week as well, there's a restaurant in downtown Regina called Flip Eatery and Drink, if anyone has heard of it.
I have heard of it.
Yay!
Very delicious.
Yeah, and they all the food there is sustainable and mostly local. And the chef there, Dave Straub, is really, really great about having his food be sustainable, having it all be just the way it should be, and not producing or making any food that's, you know, going to do damage. So that's an example. I know there's a lot more places in the city that are already kind of operating on this level and thinking about food in a different way. But for our festival, Flip is doing a Field to Fork sustainable entree all week long. So if you're on your way to the festival next week or coming from an event or in between, or even if you're just in the area, you can remember to head on over there and enjoy that. And I think it's really great to have things like this as examples of restaurants and businesses that are already in Regina, that are that are already part of this kind of alternative model that we want, so that you don't leave the festival going, okay, well, now what? But you can say, oh, if I want to go out for dinner, I can still go have a nice meal because I can go to Flip or I can go to somewhere else that already supports the food that I want to support. Or you can be like, oh, I can go to the farmer's market or places that already sell local food. So, you know, I have these alternatives already around me. So I think people should remember that as well.
I did think there are restaurants around, too, where the chefs are concerned about the freshness of their food and where it comes from and all the rest of it. You hear about rooftop gardens for herbs and things like that, that they have themselves, so they're guaranteed that their herbs are fresh and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important thing to mention, is that aside from our sponsors, we've also received organizational help and partnership with a lot of businesses and organizations in Regina. So at this festival, we'll have a lot of, you know, information and tables from different businesses so that we can partner with them and both support them and they can support us. So I think that that's an important thing to mention, is that there is a lot of things going on if you just step back and kind of pay attention a little bit more.
And that's one of the things that we kind of talked around but not explicitly said as well, is that the workshops on the Saturday next week won't be hosted by us. They'll all be hosted by different groups and individuals in the city. So for example, Permaculture Regina, which is a group doing permaculture, which if you don't know about, is a great kind of sustainable alternative way to grow. They'll be doing that workshop on permaculture. We have Nico Snyder from Root and Branch Sustainable Food and Garden Support doing the one on food preservation, which is what her business already does. So those are examples of how there's, if you come to the workshops, you can learn about the other groups and people that are already working on those areas as well and connect with them a little bit more.
Yeah, I think for us, this festival is really about making those connections and kind of creating a food network. So as Helena kind of mentioned earlier in the session today, we want to really be able to leave this festival with a movement, with all these connections, so that you don't feel, you know, paralyzed by the fact that there's no one working on this issue, but rather you've met all these people and you have resources that you can use. There's people that you can ask for help if you want to learn how to do a certain thing, or if you want to learn where to go, you can get that from our festival. So that's what we're really hoping for, is to build relationships between food and our community.
Yeah, and even just a shift to the littlest things by regular people, just everyday people, and just the littlest things you can do will make a difference, and you can feel it. And we just want people to be excited about it. You know, just leave the festival being really excited about what they can do and where we're going with the food system currently.
The interesting thing is that if you look around, you can find alternatives to just going to the big store, you know, the big supermarket kind of thing. It's out there if you look just a little bit. Farmers Market is a really good example, and there are lots of others.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so I'll mention maybe that website one more time as well. It was www.field2forkfestival.ca. And there's also a Facebook event as well. If you're on Facebook, you can find us on there. Yeah. And both of those have the entire list of scheduled, like the whole, all the events, information on people that are running all of the workshops and all the links you need there.
And if you're not on the internet, I just dropped off handbills and posters at Nature's Best. There's some handbills.
Eat Healthy Foods.
At Eat Healthy Foods. And on the university campus at the Students Union, there will be handbills.
And we'll be at the Farmers Market handing those out this Saturday as well.
Also, there are some at Flip, if you're in there, upcoming. And also at the Regina Public Interest Research Group at the U of R and at SCIC. So there's lots all around the city that you can head to for more information.
Also, shoot us an email. It's on our website. If you have any questions, you want to get involved, you want to volunteer, whatever, you know, just we're really welcoming everyone. So just let us know.
Great.
For sure.
Okay, well, I would like to thank our guests, Kay Niedermeyer and Allison Doan. And good to see you again, Helena.
Good to see you, Jim.
And this is a great show. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. Our goal is to increase the awareness of and contribute to a discussion of human rights issues at home and around the world. To discover how you can contribute to the abolition of human rights violations, visit our website at amnestysaskatchewan.ca or check out our Facebook group at Amnesty International Saskatchewan and follow the links. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."